Welcome into episode 188 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got an interview with my unicorn, Kate Hebel of Knit Now. What's a crack? Retreat section, mum section for mum fans, swap section, coming up, and me section, and the shoppy section. This episode is again kindly sponsored by my lovely friend, Angela. Scotch Tweed is a small family textiles firm based in the Scottish Borders, run by Angela with a huge amount of technical and know-how support from her dad Gerald. They have a wealth of experience in the weaving and textile trade, over 57 years to be exact. Their aim is to bring top quality tartan and tweed fabric, along with other Scottish goods and apparel, including Highland wear, to their customers at the best possible value. Angela is happy to speak to anyone at any time in regards to the requirements. If you cannot see what you're looking for on her website, give her a call. The number is on the website, www.scotchtweed.co.uk, and is a UK free phone number. She was actually doing stuff for that website recently on Instagram, so it might be worth having a good look. All links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram and I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week.
Hello.
Going straight into the hello section. A sandy hello to new to me, being with me for a while now and being with me forever listeners. I very much appreciate you tuning in and hope you're enjoying yourselves. We also have the pod dog book up, hopefully I'll not make too much noise this episode. Right, we have HixNat603, Lady Blob, CH6, Noirem, Beep Meep, and Evil Ear, who's Valerie, which I quite think that's quite funny. I must tell my Valerie that she's an Evil Ear. Love it. Random hellos are to Pretty Funky Knitter, who I missed last episode, sorry, J.C. Hant, Sarah Toga Knitting, J.M. Allen, and Tiamo, who all have posted to the Caithness Craft Collective group what they've been knitting recently, so that's where I got them from. I hope you're all very well, ladies. Now, at Edinburgh Yarn Fest, I scheduled some time to interview Kate Hebel of Knit Now magazine editing fame, and I thought it was so interesting at the time, I'm glad to be able to share it with you now. Editing this was a joy, and I don't like editing much. I'm sorry that the sound quality is not wonderful, but the quality of the interview is great, so retune your ears for it.
Kate Hebel. Hello, everybody. This is Kate Hebel. Now, Kate, would you like to tell my listeners who and what you are?
Mostly, I am the editor of Knit Now magazine, which is a monthly magazine here in the UK. We also now export to the US a little bit, which is exciting. So we're in like Barnes & Noble and stuff, which is cool for me. I'm also managing editor for the rest of my team, so we've got a few other craft mags. We've got like Crochet Now, Love Sewing, Quilt Now, Sew Now.
Right, so we're here to talk about the indie dyers that you're doing over the next while. Would you like to elaborate and tell the listeners in good detail about that?
Yes, so how it came about basically is that the way we work as a magazine is that we have a lot of sort of partners who we work with, who are a lot of them are advertisers, and a lot of my yarn choices, of the yarns that I'm using for projects in the magazine, are kind of tied up in those deals. So they're either tied up in those deals, or I've also got a great long list of yarns that are the most popular yarns in the country that we have to get into every issue. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't leave me with as much room as I would like to squeeze in all of the amazing people who are here today at Edinburgh. So I had the idea that what if we got a bunch of smaller yarn producers to club together and essentially buy themselves a really cheap page of advertising in the magazine that would then give me license to have a project in one of their yarns every issue and also interview a different one of them every time. So I've got 13 people who, over the course of a year, their adverts will be in every issue, but each one of them, you'll see their yarn in the magazine at least once, and we'll do a really nice interview with them as well and find out about who they are and what their inspirations are, and hopefully introduce them to a bit of a wider audience. Mm-hmm. because, you know, most of our readers are buying the magazine in supermarkets and things like that, and they might never have come to a show like this. They might have never seen hand-dyed yarn in person. They might have never tried it. So to get those people in front of a new audience was exciting for me.
I know that Yarn Shipping Plain is doing it.
Yes.
It's been wrecked. It's wonderful.
Yes.
Lovely neck. Can you shout out to the next three you can think? And this isn't picking on any of the rest of them, it's just the top three.
Well, the issue that's on sale as we speak.
This is perfect.
Has a pattern in which is knitted in Eden Cottage Yarns, and an interview with Debbie from Skein Queen. The issue, which will be on sale next, has a pattern from Kettle Yarn Co. and an interview with Gamergraphic.
Fantastic.
So
that's good. Good people. So why would you say it was important to the yarn industry, in the UK specifically, to have indie dyers?
Well, I think it's just really important to have like diversity in the market. So every yarn has its place, and I'm a bit of a yarn snob, and I like my yarn to be really, really good. But you know, there's equally a place for affordable acrylics for people who are just coming into the market. But I think something that indie dyers are always really good at is that pushing the boundaries, bringing in new colours, bringing in new fibres, and telling a story with their yarns that's more than just here's a ball of string, you know. Because this is, you know, it's a creative endeavour. It's about finding time for yourself. And that time that you're spending knitting or crocheting, you've got to enjoy every minute of it. You know, there's no sense in doing it if you feel like you're working with a ball of twine that's got no soul to it, no history, you know. And particularly, you know, Knitting Goddess, you know, talking about the fact that her British sock yarn, even the nylon's British, you know, that's like an interesting story to me, and being able to tell that story.
I like that. That's, you know, story. I have to say, I'm a sucker for a name. It doesn't pick a people.
Yeah.
Yarn, but if you give it a name that is, means something to me, I'm I have to have that.
Yeah.
It's the same patterns as well. Yeah. And how did you choose your shortlist?
Well, to be honest, I sort of came up with the idea. I messaged a couple of dyers who I'm friends with basically asking them if it theoretically would work, if the price was right, if the deal was one that was fair. And everyone that I messaged said yes and signed me up. So then that was 5 of the 13 sorted, I think. And then a couple of them told their friends who got in touch with me. And then my colleague Amanda mentioned it to a couple of people. I think she was selling show guides or something like that to people that were exhibiting at a show. She mentioned it to them and they all said yes. So it kind of just went before we had a chance to even do a shortlist. And it went to brilliant people. You know, there's nobody on that list that I wasn't delighted with signed up. So now we've already got a waiting list for next year, which is great.
Oh, that's cool. I know what's going on next year.
Yeah. So I started it as we'll just do it for a year and see how it goes. The great thing is that it's gone down really, really well with readers.
Good.
So we're constantly doing market research and getting people to review our magazines and stuff like that. And as soon as the first one of these went in, we had so many people telling us how much they loved it and how happy they were with it in all of our surveys. So it was just like, well, that's staying then. We can do at least another year.
Oh, that's cool. Thank you very much, Kate. Well, I think it's a fantastic thing that you're doing, giving people a spotlight. Carry on. And carry on being wonderful. Right, back to the knitting, my friend.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Kate. That was really interesting talk about indie dyers. You can read about the Indie Dyers focus all this year and next year now in every issue of Knit Now magazine, and you can get that mostly everywhere, and if not, on your Kindles.
What's the crack section?
What's a crack? Happy 8th year podiversary to me. Happy 8th year podiversary to me. Happy 8th year podiversary to me for last month, because I forgot. Happy 8th year podiversary to me. Lucky, lucky you lot. review. Oh, well, this was actually going to be a blather, but I couldn't quite get it into a proper blather. Now, this is regarding the viewing of things. Now, listeners, I'm really fortunate to review a lot of lovely crafty goodies for you, this episode with no exception. And I absolutely love talking about craft and crafty goodies. I do try my best to give it fair and level review. I'm a person who likes other businesses to do well. If I can use my platform to help them, then hooray for the crafting world. I'm not overrun with businesses asking me to review stuff, and I don't really go around and, can I review your stuff to other people? Because to me, that's asking somebody's hard-earned business cash. But if businesses are happy for me to do that for them, then that's brilliant. I love doing them, because then I get to see and play with things. I probably wouldn't be able to afford all of them. And by telling you about them, hopefully the businesses can live long and prosper. Most of them are smaller businesses, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. The money you spend on them pays things for like their MOT, their beer and swim license, their dentist bills, car insurance, you know, life stuff. So it's not going to make them a second home in the Bahamas or for their 13th holiday of the year. However, I mean, the big box stuff has their side as well, but that's where the small businesses stuff tends to go to. Now, I was discussing reviewing something for someone recently who will remain nameless, and they asked me how much I charge for reviewing, and I went, what? Charge to review things that people have given me? Part of me thought, ooh, maybe I should. Greedy Louise was going, yay, that would be nice. But then the other part said, no, I didn't even know it was a thing to be paid to review things. And then made more sense why some podcasts I've listened have said that they are not being paid to review. But I've never heard anyone say that they actually have been paid, so this was completely new to me. It could be a thing in some of the many, many podcasts that I don't actually get around to watching. Oh, shock horror, I don't watch all the ones or listen to all the ones that you listen to. But there is only so many hours in a day, and also I haven't figured out how to make YouTube watch in double time when I'm behind on episodes. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to be paid if the business is willing to do so, and they must have the advertising budget for it or they wouldn't offer, but I don't expect it on this podcast. It was never in the ethics that I started my podcast, nor was it in the ones that I started listening to over 8 years ago. I think I give a fair review. You will hear this later, and no, it wasn't for TJ Frog, whom asked if they could pay me. What? If something is wonderful, I think everyone should buy it, then I say that. If it has things that I think are things you need to know about before you buy it, I say that too, but maybe in a gentle way of, that's not the only thing you're going to get from this review way. I see no benefit to any of us in giving a purely negative review, but in that case I will offer of, this is not my taste at all suggestion, and in all honesty, I very seldom come across things to review that I only see negatives in, and I also think about the person behind the item. So that is my thoughts on review. Competition. Lovely Mail of Emsky Knits had released her final 6-book story books, and the edition is called Reclaim. Listeners, she had offered you a copy, and you had to choose from Optimism, Bravery, Delight, Purpose, Dignity, Fearless, and you gave some wonderful answers of which one you chose. Now, the random number generator chose Barbara Robson, and she chose Bravery. So congratulations, Barbara. Well, thank you very much, Mel. Mel has a video on her Instagram of an eagle sitting on her veranda. I know. Yesterday I had a Jenny Wren in my sunroom, but it's not quite the same. I set it free after I took a video of my pocket, trying to take a video of it out. Well, she had an eagle. It was just, let's see, fearless. Right, beardy cheer. He's got a lovely new shawl pattern out called the Pentland Firth, and I had a copy of it to give away to you. I'd ask you to come up with some names of a walrus, and Sue Ann Gardner won with calling her walrus Wilson, which I'm assuming is from Tom Hanks' Castaway film, but I thought it was very funny. And the random number generator filled that up. Congratulations to Sue, and I hope you enjoy knitting this. There was quite a few funny names of Russell, Beardress, Mr. Wilson, Where's Wally, oh, Ben, from the genus Odobenus, that must be the genus for the walrus. That's clever, Leslie. Monsieur Morse, or Morsi, amongst his friends. Bob, in your best Blackadder voice, Angela. So, there wasn't very many of you that went for this competition, but it's a really lovely pattern. And Saratoga Knitting has actually started hers, and she's using a Lopi wool, which is really nice. I myself went over the Pentland Firth to Orkney last week for a few days. We stayed at the Orchids Hostel in Kirkwall, which Sandy stayed in there last year when he did his residential with school, and he loved it, and we were very lucky because Mum took Buchel and the hostel doesn't take dogs. And then we got the same room that Sandy got, so he was absolutely in his element because he felt really comfortable and at home. I'm happy to report how much yarn is in Kirkwall and other places. It was almost like Reykjavik. There was a good mix of Isle of Erskine, North Ronaldsea yarns and some local dyers too. Plus, I got into Annie Glue's knitwear shop, which sold loads of yarns, and she is actually very nice. She might not have been. I wouldn't have said it though. I bought some 4-ply North Ronaldsea yarn, which was hand-dyed, and it was in a terracotta colour, which I thought might have matched the Zauber ball that I bought at Edinburgh Yarn Fest for the Dreaming Daisy shawl by Ruth Churchman. But I don't actually think it matches now that I've got them together. So it's going to be in stash for a while until I know what to do with, because I don't actually think it would suit the Pentland Firth shawl either. I think a round yarn would probably do best for it. I thought about buying some cream-coloured North Ronaldsea because I thought that would have matched colour-wise, but she didn't have any. And she did have a marvellous collection of Jamesons of Shetland, but because I was in Orkney, I only wanted Orcadian. So full of a took that I am. Anyway, we had a great time. We went to see the Tomb of the Eagles, which isn't the same without Twinset Ellen and Lisa to go looking into chambered cairns. But it was good. If you're there, do go. And we went to see the Broch of Bursey up at the top west of the island. The Orkney Brewery, where it's £2.40 for a can of iron brew. Yeah. The Isle of Hoy, and we looked back upon Caithness. And I loved the ferry over there and back again because I could knit undisturbed without the guilt. It's great. And my new favourite place in Kirkwall is the Old Library, which has a cafe, a toy shop, a bookshop, an exhibition area, a gig area and a record shop selling vinyl. So it was really good and it was busy. A lot of locals in there too. Richard and I had a most wonderful time flicking through all the singles and LPs and we're going, this is what it used to be like, and the kids didn't care. Brilliant coffee and cake in there too. And the day before, I'd misplaced my stape on a trail run down at Golspie and went over my ankle and sprained it. It is now better and I managed a 2-mile run today with it strapped up and raced in it a little bit now. And it was obviously sore at the time, and yes, I've riced it and I've arnicked it and anti-flammated it, but I'm getting there. And now I put a picture on Instagram and I had so many comments on it, but don't worry, this was 2 weeks ago now, good 2 weeks ago. And I had some yarn with me to knit socks on with me in Orkney, and it was the exact same colour of the bruise on my foot. So I thought it was hilarious and I posted it onto Instagram and Facebook. But thank you for all your kind words. I did do a lot of sitting that week, and the knitting and reading, but I found that walking actually did help, and then resting it. It was unfortunate we were on our holly bags for 3 days, but it meant I didn't fight the bairns over the top bunk. I was quite happy for them to have that. I'm back at the swimming, gentle indoor cycling, and I'm very, very conscious. I've got a 15-mile run at the end of May, and I travel on before it. So listeners, don't worry, I don't like pain, so I will be careful. And also, I thought I'd clarify something. I've gone up there. Caithness is a county, not a town, in the Highland region of the top of Scotland. We are in the far north and east of Scotland. Our county towns are Wick and Thurso, but Caithness is a county, not a town. Some people thought that Caithness was a town and they couldn't understand why they couldn't see it on a map, but it's actually a county.
The review section.
Review section. I did not get paid for this. I repeat, I do not get paid for this review. You might get bored of me saying that. Right, Tanya of TG Frog, and no, I don't want you to pay me for it, Tanya, right? For anything. Real smiling, because this is Tanya. Right. She asked if I would like to review her new yarn, and I almost bit her hand off. Because last year I reviewed her Hebridean and Pole Dorset yarn. Absolutely loved it, and if I have lots and lots of money, I would buy it, all of it, and knit with it all the time. This year, Tanya has only gone and done it again. All her Dorset and Skye wool sits under the label of her Shorelines and Strata. The Dorset down is the iron weight, and this is what she's got her note for. It's single breed, and the range is called Chalk. The colours are all named after flowers on the farm where the sheep are from, cowslip, betony and sloe, and it's mill dyed. The colours were chosen as a nod to the coloured card that the Dorset buttons used to be mounted on, yellow, blue and pink. It's worsted, spun in Cornwall with four plies to an aran weight. It's sourced from Rampisham Hill Farm in Dorset, the same place her Pole Dorset came from, and it's registered as a rare breed, minority risk, by the Rare Breed Survival Trust. The list for this year came out this week, and I don't know, there was some amusement on Twitter about whether we shouldn't or should not eat the sheep. But to me, if you're... Well, I don't know, I could see two sides to this coin. I was thinking about that, but the more in demand the sheep is, both for its wool and for its meat, the more likely farmers are actually to farm them. But if you are just having a crop of sheep, you don't have a crop of sheep. You might have a crock of something else. Very similar to that, and I'm very close to actually saying that. You might have a flock of sheep just purely for their wool, but it's very, very rare that actually happens, because most sheep are farmed for their meat. But I'll let you decide. Dorset horn. Around during part of the Dorset button cottage industry, hence why it was important for her to source this particular breed. This is a single breed, and its range is called Shell. The colours are Tanya's business colours, purple and green. The purple and the green were dyed at the mill, and she also had some skeins hand dyed by Helen of Ripple's Crafts of purple and green thistle. It's worsted spun in Cornwall with three plies to a light DK weight. It's sourced from a farm in Cornwall. And it's registered as a rare breed at risk by the Rare Breed Survival Trust. So I'm going to start with the Dorset Down. This is the Aran weight. And it was undyed, which was a creamy ivory white colour and also in a navy blue. First feeling was it was round and plump. I used metal tip Knit Pro Zings, which sometimes picked out a ply, so I'd suggest rounder tips or bamboo needles. This yarn loves being in a garter stitch, stocking stitch, moss stitch, cable stitch, bobble, texture. It loves texture. I also put in a lace, and it really liked that too. It ran through my hands very nicely, and I loved working with it. I was sort of thinking, oh, what will I make with this? And sort of made a headband. Well, I didn't actually, it was too short in the end. I cast on 15 stitches, and I just kept doing a panel of each of the stitches to see how I got on, and then I went into colour work for the navy and did the same stitches in the navy to see how the colour would affect the stitches, and I would see it was exactly the same. In crochet, you're working with the yarn, the plies sometimes splayed out, so you have to be careful to catch all of the strands. It's with quite a lot of yarns, that really. It was really nice in double and treble and bobble stitch, but maybe not so good in trellis work. When I blocked it, there was some dye loss from the navy. Now, I had Mum helping me doing this because I was Mrs. Hobby at the time. And I used warm water and soak detergent. And the dye loss didn't transfer onto the cream. And I told Tanya, because fair enough, I thought, well, it's an honest review, I'll see what she says. And she says, well, thanks so much for getting in touch with me and let me know. It's disappointing to hear, although I'm glad that you've told me. Well, Tanya is lovely. She said that she'd then gone back through the soaking, and she said she had it in cool water and had photos to show minimum dye loss of the water. So I said, oh, and went off and tried it again with only cold water this time, and the already blocked blue gave off minimum dye loss, and by that I mean the water wasn't exactly clear, but it wasn't a shade of blue. I then shoved in the rest of the ball that I hadn't knit up, and there was more loss. So I could tell the water was blue, but it was nothing like the warm soak I had given it before. I'd used soap detergent both times, and listeners, chemical reaction also involves the heat of the water. I think I'm kind of moanly. I'm mainly telling myself that. And I did do chemistry at school, so I should know these things. I hold my hand up here. I didn't read and follow instructions. If it says cool or cold, go for cool or cold. I would also say I normally actually go cool because I run the hot tap, but I'm impatient because I never really wait for it to get hot. And I don't soak for very long either, as some do, because once I've started, I want it done. And if I walk away from it, I hate going back to it. Now, Mum was assisting me this, and she likes to help out her daughter in need. She's nice that way. Well, I was feeding her steak that night, and she was doing anything I wanted her to do, which also included looking after the dog for 3 nights. Hooray for mums. Anyway, back to the soaking. Mum did wait for the hotter water, and it was, you could put your hand in it, hot, and I didn't read her the label. So that is the story on that. Tanya sent photos and said, I'm not sure if it's a satisfactory answer, but I would say the temperature of the water is important and would suggest washing in cold water only. There may well be a dyeing issue, though I didn't get any run in my first soaking. I will change the labels from cool to cold to reflect what has happened. To be perfectly honest, Tanya, even if it had said that, I probably would have gone for tepid anyway, because I didn't read the instructions and I didn't realise it would make such a difference. Listeners, that's what reviews are for, so I can find this out before you start and not make that mistake. When you go to soak yours, you'll be like, what was it Louise said about using cold water? Oh yes, only to use cold water. Don't make the mistake I did. Then on to the Dorset horn. I had it in a light DK weight and undyed and purple. The purple was dyed by Ripples Crafts Helen, and it goes very well in Tanya's range with her signature colours. She also had a really lovely skein in variegated. I did the same swatch but with 24 stitches this time, and again, like the garter, the stocking, the cable and bobble, and was okay. Pretty much okay in most stitch. It looked really good in simple lace too. It was not as round and as plump as the Aran. It had a different handle to the Dorset down, it didn't feel quite as smooth. It was certainly serviceable. I then went down the swatch with the purple and soaked it at the same as the down. And this time there was a tiny bit of dye coming off the purple, and this was again with warm water, but no more or less than I'd expect from any other dyer. And then after blocking, the purple seemed to be softer to handle than the undyed. So I wonder if the dyeing process has already softened this, and this makes me think then that the more you wear it and wash it, the yarn would soften more and more. The crochet sample was similar to the Dorset horn. It was good in double and treble and okay in bobble, but not so great in the trellis pattern. Both yarns did sort of stay where they were put when I ripped them back a bit. You aren't supposed to have favourites in your children, and I don't, but I can in yarn. I really loved the Dorset down. I liked the Dorset horn, but I loved the Dorset down. And I think it would be absolutely fabulous in a traditional Aran jumper with all the cables and all the bubbles and an old man with a beard and he was walking through the heather. Both are really suited to woolly worn jumpers for winter. Lemongrass by Yoki Locatelli would be wonderful, or a heavily cabled stone fence by Thea Coleman. I think it wants to have texture and real presence. Plus, her range of colours give you good choices for all ages, and both sexes too. The light DK and Dorset down would suit more of a cardigan, such as the Nigella Lace cardigan by Anne B. Hansen, or a Stranalcher by Kate Davis, which is a loose tank top. Something where it wants structure and it'll hold its pattern of lace or cable. You possibly maybe have a layer between you and it, but after a few wears it would be okay. I'd wear the Dorset horn against my skin first of all, and then the down after it's been washed a few times. I really did like both of them. I love the Dorset horn most. So this is going to retail in at £19 of 100 grams of Aran for the Dorset horn, £19 for 100 grams of the DK of the Dorset down. She has it in smaller cakes of 50 and 20 grams. And you can buy it from her website at www.tgfrog.co.uk. Pretty much, Tanya's done it again. So thank you, Tanya, for letting me review it and talk about it. And also find out about chemical reactions. I mean, of course the heat's going to make a difference.
The swap section.
Swap. The past 2 weeks, the postie bypasses our house quite a lot, which really upsets Buchel because he likes to woof him. Which means no bells, but it also means nothing nice to open and smile at. So I thought, stuff it, I'm having another swap. I will enforce the post. Buchel can woof yet again. This one is going to be low-key, no sock knitting. I thought a nice wee handwritten letter talking about crafty news and some stitch markers. You don't have to have made them, but they have to be in a set and no more than £10. I'll open this up on Ravelry and you'll have until the 5th of May to sign up and then post out by the end of May. I'll try and pair you up so you're not swapped before, possibly, or as far away as possible. So, lots of possibles there. Be happy to do that if you do join in, because it'd be quite light in the postage, I would expect, if you're just sending a lovely newsy letter and some stitch markers.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up. Aberdeen Knit Fest is going to be on the 13th of May, so it's for coming round. Double Tree by Hilton Hotel Aberdeen Treetops, and Rossi Ferret, Leona, is getting organised for it now. I was watching her on Instagram stories this morning. Perth, 8th and 9th of September, and I'm going. And do you know what? They've changed the Caithness half. But they changed it to the week after. And that is another triathlon. So I can't go to it anyway. But hooray, I can feel absolutely no guilt or FOMO when I go to Perth now. The workshops have been released to sign up for, and I really eyeing up Carrie Westerman's Knitting Landscapes one. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say that until actually I've booked it, because then you can't book it. Oh, I know what I could do. I can, before I edit this, I'll pay for it, and then that'll be it. Yeah, everybody else go to Carrie Westerman's, because I'm going. Well, once I've booked it. I asked Eva are the workshops getting tickets into the marketplace, and she said that she'd set it for workshops, not including marketplace tickets, so you know. It must be the way the yarn event's going, because I'd not really noticed it. Mostly I've got press passes to most of them, but it does sadden me though. But like the Loch Ness one, it's a business decision. Whilst we might disagree with it, I suppose we have to respect it. Loch Ness is the 19th to 21st October in Leisure Centre, which is beside the ice rink in Inverness, and they are having, again, a charity knit along, and I've asked them when they announce the details, I'll tell you.
The grandma section.
Mum section. Now here's the latest from Mum, who hasn't been on for a while. Now, as I was editing it, Mum had a bit of a sniffle, so it might sound choppier than normal, because I can't abide sniffing, not even my own mummy. And also, if I sound like I'm talking over her and finishing her sentences, it's because, well, when I'm recording, she does get a bit uptight. And she looks at me and waves her hand. So if I get the word out for her, she's happy. And I think we're like that with people that we love, and I don't notice I'm doing it. And I never do it out of irritation, but trying to help her. Now, you can't see her face or the hand waving or where I've edited out the pauses of, what's the word? So I thought I'd explain that. I have asked her if I annoy her, and she says, "No, ma'am," in a Geordie accent. "Your dad used to do it, and now you do it." Anyway, see if you can hear the waving of the hand in this. You like it, because I enjoyed listening it back to it twice now. And she made an error, and that was hilarious, and I loved her laughing, so I kept it. And I'm sorry, Mum. She'll make you laugh too. Hi, Mum.
Hello, Louise. How are you?
I was just asking the same thing. Oh, we haven't spoken to you for a while, and the listeners would probably want to know what you've been up to. Last time we spoke, you were heading off to Edinburgh and Glasgow for the week. And do you want to tell the listeners how you got on?
We thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a good exhibition. We bought material.
Did you buy a lot?
Not a lot of material, but I bought lots of stuff that I needed. And we enjoyed the group of people that went with, well, the ladies, quilters. I haven't used any of the material yet.
Oh, and what have you booked up for in August?
Birmingham.
Oh, yeah. The festival quilts. Yeah. Quite excited for that.
Oh, I'm excited. Yeah, we've booked the flight down and back, the hotel.
Yeah, cool.
Looking forward to that.
All right, so other things that you're making and doing, what's sitting beside you just now?
Well, I'm knitting preemie hats for your retreat.
Yeah, Ella is asked if people would like to donate some preemie hats, because we did it last year. And these ones will go into the Aberdeen maternity, because that's where her daughter had need of being for her baby and her granddaughter. So, you want to tell us about the hats?
Right. Do you recognise this pattern?
I do, and I love this pattern.
Isn't it lovely? This is Ellen's pattern.
Twins of Ellen, this is the coming and going baby hat.
Yes, that's right. And it's in lemon. And it's just, that when they're small like that, they're just so cute.
It's tiny.
Yes.
What wool is, like, ply is that?
Four ply.
Oh, it's four ply.
Yeah, the hats that I've knitted are all four ply, the patterns.
Yeah.
And this, it's bonny shade, isn't it? Like a
dusky pink.
Mm-hmm,
this is a different pink one.
And it's got the lace at the brim.
The
yeah.
Brim.
And then the plain knitting. And then this little white one, that's a lacy one too.
Oh, it's just gorgeous. I've given them a little hug for the babies that are going to wear them.
Yeah.
And wish the babies all the best and the mummies and daddies that have the babies. Because that's what you do when you have preemie hats. Now, what is the floor over there, Mother?
I'm busy knitting Fair Isle mitts for 9 to 10 year old. And the pattern on the back is different from the pattern on the palm. And it's royal blue and pale blue. It's quite bonny.
Yeah, it's very bonny.
Mm-hmm. And I've knitted 2 pairs of socks. One for your son. 1 pair for your son, Daisy. Sorry, I hope you edited that one. One for your... Right, I've knitted 2 pairs of socks, one for your daughter, Daisy, and 1 pair for Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a bit of a job because they were in between the sizes,
mm-hmm.
and we had to keep fitting them. And I thought Daisy's the first time, you know, fitted fine, but when she started walking, they didn't, so I had to take them back.
You didn't just take them back, you cut them. I was freaking out.
I cut the toes because, of course, it was all finished and I had done catching a stitch. So I pulled them all out and did a bigger size in the fit.
Mm-hmm.
And because we realised Sandy's, it was 4-ply, bonny wool.
It
Sandy's.
Is lovely. It was actually from Liddell's, that stuff.
Knitted up lovely.
But the Daisy's was the opal.
Yes. I'll have to say both. The loss of wool was yours.
Yeah. Well, Mum's done this thing. I think she's just realised. I know you're doing it. She'll go, oh, well, go up and have a look at your new stuff. And then I'll go through my stash and go, oh, do you fancy making the bairns this? And do you fancy doing that? Here, take this. And she goes off with loads of my stash. Well, that's not a bad thing because she's making use of it.
Yeah.
And the bairns are getting socks. And they never took them off. I had to actually peel them off Sandy's feet. He wore them for nearly half a week. But well, socks don't smell, so they've been washed. Both of them have been washed, and Daisy had hers on again.
Good.
And of course, Grandma made them, so she's delighted with that. Now, what is through by in this kitchen just now, Mum?
Oh, I'm busy making a skirt, a tweed skirt, which I bought the tweed at your retreat last. Yeah.
Aye, from Angela Scotch.
From Angela,
Tweed.
Yes. And
who's the sponsor of the podcast? Hello, Angela.
Hello, Angela. I made the handbag and with the tweed I bought. I'm making the skirt and I've got the squares ready, cut, and all the edging done for a bigger tote bag.
Mm.
But I haven't gotten around to that, but, you know, I'm trying to use all the tweed up.
Good.
Yeah. And I went to a workshop, Juliana's workshop, and we dyed material, plain white material. What a lovely day we had, and what gorgeous colours.
I might go upstairs and just go, oh, oh, I could do some of this kind of material. Take it all back with me and swap it for wool. No, I'm only joking.
And then the next workshop, this was with the quilters, when I used some of the material that I had dyed, and I did a Charles Rennie Macintosh wall hanging.
It's lovely.
And I used the pink for the borders and the...
Have you put it on Instagram yet?
No.
Well, you should do that, because a lot of the listeners follow you on Instagram, and if you don't, she's Grandma Mac said.
Mm-hmm.
So I could put the link in there, because Mum is extremely talented. It's obviously where I get it from.
I'm delighted that you're with your cross-stitching, in your knitting, your crocheting. But I never followed your crocheting. I followed your knitting, cross-stitch, making cards. I followed
that.
I started making cards.
Yeah.
Then you, was knitting, but you came on main. Very good. Oh, yeah.
See's Mum, who has a Gansey sitting in her cupboard.
No, but, I mean, look at that lovely shawl that you've knitting.
Well, true. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's more about you just now.
And I think that's it at the moment.
Well, the gardening is sort of taking precedence now. It's started up again and you're trying to get your garden in order for the year. What's your next project going to be?
Well, I'm busy sewing and I'm going to try and finish off the sashings for my quilt. I've got more material to make another quilt, but I haven't decided on a pattern, and I want to knit. These just take a night or half a day and a night.
All right.
To make, so I'm going to try and make more of the little hats, hats.
Uh-huh. Maybe this will help some of the other retreat ladies who are coming think about just rattling off one. They're good.
They're just so, quick to make up.
Where did you get your patterns from apart from Ellen's one? Were they old?
Old patterns and, that I've just got in my collection over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, well, they're 4-ply, and I saw it went upstairs and had a lovely time sorting some wool out. So
it's quite nice looking at your old stash, isn't it? And
it
thinking,
is.
Oh, well, you're coming back into your own now. I know I've not spoken to you for a little while, but hello, come out of here. Come on, we'll use you.
Yes. Oh, and I got a lovely little present from you.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. When I was in Orkney, I went to the Hoxha Tapestry and they were selling yarn. And this is hand-dyed by Joe Thompson. And it's 100% Shetland 2-ply yarn. And it's just 25 grams, but it's hand-dyed and it's beautiful.
It's black, the main colour, and it's twisted. And at the top of the twist, it's lovely shade of green, a few shades of green, and nearly to the blue, navy blue. It's really lovely. So we haven't decided what we're doing with it, but we have been discussing it, and it is very, very pretty.
Now, all the yarn that was in the shop, and I have a feeling that Jo Thompson is the daughter of the lady who does the Hoxha Tapestry. It's a mother and daughter team at the Hoxha Tapestry. All the yarn by Jo Thompson have photographs, and it's the inspiration. And this one's called Merry Dancers, and it's got a wee picture, and it must be they probably took it, and it's got the Northern Lights. So I thought it was pretty cool, and I could see my mum making gloves out of them or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's not an awful lot, but it was really nice.
Yeah.
And I was very tempted to buy more, but I'd already bought some. Right, Mum, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So there's my lovely, lovely Mum. Retreat section. Not too much news, but listeners of the retreat, I will be sending an email with the menu for the Saturday night dinner, so if you could get back to me as soon as possible, that would be wonderful. I have been purchasing in things for the workshop and also for the goodie bag, and I'm about to start making the stuff for the goodie bag, and I'll have to go radio silence on that, and I think we're going to take quite a lot of time, but I'm going to be regimented and organised.
The beaker section. Mee, 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 mee!
Mee, mee, mee section. I finished my Moonraker cowl, and this is by Courtney Robinson. I used Kismet Fiberworks Worsted, and it's colourly called Bundant. It was 80% superwash merino, 10% cashmere, and 10% nylon, and I had 230 yards for 100 grams. It's a lace and beaded cowl knit in the round. My thoughts are that I love, 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 love this yarn, and especially the colour. It's so deep and abundant. The pattern, well, it's actually in a purple, by the way. That's what it was. The pattern is for a fingering weight yarn, but the colour of the worsted was just that bit deeper than the fingering that I had, and it matched better the purple top. I got an Ale Ale Bean hoodie a few years ago, which I wear a lot, and I wanted a cowl to match it. Because it's a worsted weight, obviously it was going to be a different size to the fingering weight finished article. And I knew about this before I started it. I knew I didn't have enough to finish it properly, and I kind of lost at yarn chicken, because in the last row I was like knitting two together, pass one over, then knitting three together, pass one over towards the end. And it ended up with, I think I had in grand total 3 inches on one side and 2 inches on the other. I used pretty much every inch of the yarn, which I really liked. I also ran out of the matchy-matchy beads, but that was okay because I had some that were almost the same, but just as sparkly. And I wasn't at all bothered because I can't even tell where it changes over, so you'd be hard pushed to. I gave this a really good block, and it's way wider than I would have liked, but it feels lovely with the cashmere and merino, and I love the colour which tops it off. I did get into the lacy pattern after the first repeat because it's a 20 line repeat of a 10 stitch pattern, and I struggled the first repeat, but the second one, I was in there. I already had fingering weight balled up, and I think I might make another one. I just don't have the beads as yet. Well, I have some purple beads, but they're more for sewing than knitting, and they are on the small size. So I'm going to have a rake around in my bead stash upstairs before I buy some. I was looking at glitterwitch.co.uk as she has beads for knitting, which is pretty cool. But I'll just need to know that I need a size 6 seed bead. It's definitely a niche market until you know what you're looking for in beads. It's basically a bead with a big eye. All the better to see you with, Red Riding Hood. Anyway, I'm delighted that I've made this cowl, even if it's not exactly what I thought it would be. Well, I've been wearing it and it goes beautifully over the top of my purple hoodie. And it's actually too hot to wear it today. We don't have quite the heat wave that the south of the country are having, because we have fresh ease of wind, and fade up with the wind. But it's a lovely breeze and a great run this morning. Weather-wise, did feel like I laid legs though. Now, in the Arboreal news by Jennifer Steingass, I picked mine back up and I have split for the armholes. I've done some short row spacing, which I got a little bit mixed up in which was the back and which was the front, so I'm hoping that I've done it right or it's going to look a bit crooked. And I'm now 2 inches below the armhole before I begin on the waist shaping soon. Now I'm on one colour, I think I'm going a bit faster, and I have used up my first ball of West Yorkshire Spinners James Double Knit Wensleydale in Jasper Red. And I'm doing this as a knit along with the lovely Naomi, Debbie and Sarah, but I've not seen them over the holidays, so I don't know how they're getting on with them, so hopefully I'll update you on the next episode. So because I got to the end of that, I took through another ball, but I haven't actually wound it, so I thought, what I'm going to do was, when I get to the end of that ball, well, the one I've done, I will start something else and knit on it for a bit. And then, such as, what's really calling to me in my stash just now, is the Carl Fellor Coiled Magenta. And it is a two-coloured, and it's got stripes in it, but done in a sort of way that it's not going to look like I've got lines across me, because horizontal stripes are never very good for a bog, which is a tummy. And her new yarn upstairs, every time I go past it, I'll pet it. So I looked out the cashmere, click clack cashmere that I've got, and it matches, which is perfect. I was a bit worried about that. And But what I did, I was knitting on the Dorset Horn and Dorset Down samples, and they took a Wiley, but it was a pleasurable Wiley. Really loved working on the Aran weight. And I liked the double knit. It's just because it took longer, I think, is part of it. Also, I had a sock cast on using sock wool I got as a part of a swap last year, and it completely moved my bruise in my foot, which I told you. And I'm using Knit Pro Carbons in a size 2.25mm, and I'm hoping that I'm knitting tight enough. I tried knitting Continental a couple of times, but when I picked it up last night, I went back to English because I was talking when I was doing wading at the swimming pool. Daisy's now got into deep squat, so that kind of tightens up the wading at the pool. I normally take my crochet to the swimming pool, but I was really enjoying the knitting. I think it's by Jelly Beans on Etsy. I did pick out the label and I put it in my pocket. And I don't know which pocket I put it in to tell you. So whichever pocket it is in, I'll tell you next episode. I was just doing a vanilla sock because it's... I'm just trying to get more into the sock knitting and get more used to it before I go back to doing the pattern sock. Because I was looking again at the Rapunzel's Tower sock by Becky Green. And I just thought, I want to make them... So if I get more confidence in making another vanilla sock, then I will probably have a bit more confidence going back to that. Now, Mum mentioned the preemie hats, so I, two days ago, on Wednesday swimming, I took along some Debbie Bliss Cashmerino and some 4mm, maybe 3.5, I can't remember actually, some DPNs. Yes, some DPNs. Bamboo DPNs and cast on, and this is a pattern. It's a very basic baby hat pattern in various sizes. You could go from preemie up to teen, and it's from Mama Stitchery Projects, and I just had this up in my pattern library upstairs printed off already, and it's quite a reasonably sized preemie hat, but I want to make like little tiny ones, so I think I'm going to go back to Twinsy Ellen's patterns of a coming and going baby hat, and Ellen's striped domination hat, because I know that it definitely has a preemie hat size in there as well. These are to be a donation for Ella's contribution to the retreat of doing the lasagna on the first night. In crochet news, I finished sloth number 3 using the alpaca from New Leaf Yarns that I reviewed ages ago. Not sure if I told you about that sloth or not. It makes a fantastic sloth because it's lovely and cosy and soft. And I started another one using the Knit Goddess Brit Silk Soap sample that I reviewed as well. It's crocheted up beautifully too. Not sure what colour I'll make his face because the sample was multicoloured. But so far, it's my favourite. Twisted crochet pattern. And I also did a little bit on The Incredible Hulk by Cathy Galouz, but I'm not quite up at his head yet. In the sewing corner, I was at Tights for Artists on Tuesday, and it was so nice to see everybody after the holidays. Next week, we are going to start a shibori off, which is a sort of indigo dyeing method. Anne is going to lead us in this, and she was a chemist before she retired. We are in safe hands, and then I'll be more than happy to do this at the retreat. It's quite good actually. Well, I would do it beforehand, but it's even better when somebody takes the lead and you sort of can ask questions or they come up with things that you didn't even thought about, such as everybody needs a face mask for this one. And I've watched Katie Green's The Green Bean video podcast yesterday. I absolutely loved it. She'd taken it to another level as she has a camera over her shoulder and sometimes watches her knit or draw or sew. And also we get clips of her and her dog Jack on their adventures. And she doesn't always talk, but she's showing off what she's making. And at first I was a bit like, hello Kate, still here, say something, look at me. But I was knitting at the same time, so I just watched a bit of her knitting, then looked down and looked at me knitting, and then a bit more of her knitting, and then the same for the drawing. And watching her draw was cathartic. Oh, I loved watching her draw, because I'm not actually very good at drawing. Well, everybody can draw, but not everybody can draw and make it look like what they want to look like. How does that sound? I didn't know how much of a stupendous artist Katie was. Hi, Katie. And plus watching the dressmake made me want a dressmake. And then my mum cut out a skirt and it made me want to do it too, and I don't have time. I've got a lot of sewing ahead for the retreat, so I will be getting my sewing fixed that way. But I really want to be better at dressmaking. And yes, I'm scared too, Katie. You're not alone. So do go watch Katie's video cast. She's got 3 episodes out now, and he's just so chilled out. And she had one out before Edinburgh Yarn Fest, and I wish I'd watched it, but just ran out of time before it. And otherwise, I'd been like, oh, okay, fangirled her more. Probably been too scared to speak to her. I saw that the Great British Sewing Bee is coming back, so hopefully that'll see that encourage me and you, maybe too, Katie. Speaking of smiling, it's hi Tanya, smiling at you, smile at Tanya from TG Folk Section. Everyone smile at Tanya. Not a creepy wee mind, she's just someone that when you meet her, you smile, like Catherine Limmer. So if they came on your bus just now, or the train, you'd be putting your hand up and going, sit here with me. But if she got into your car when you're waiting in the line of traffic, you'd be wondering. You'd still smile at her though. In the library corner, I had a complete reading frenzy. I read the Chrissy Wellington biography. She's a 4-time winner of Ironman Triathlon. I then read Tricurious by Laura Fountain and Katie King, which is really good for how to get into and survive triathlon. And then I read Walking the Americas by Levison Wood, which I really enjoyed. And it was written quite funny, but I remember watching parts on the telly and it's quite serious and just says it like it is, but so informative. And then I read The Handmaiden's Tale by Margaret Atwood, which is very well written but very sad. I remember watching the film years ago, and we don't have Netflix, so I haven't actually seen the Netflix version, but it doesn't end the way I thought it was going to end, so it was really good but sad. And I'm still plugging away on Les Miserables by Victor Hugo, and I have A Born to Run by Christopher McDougall to start. Although, if I find I'm reading, I'm not knitting or sewing, so I have to limit the reading, and I do like an actual book. I would recommend any of the 4 mentioned. Craftlet is reading Anne of Green Gables, and oh, it's wonderful. And on Saturday, and all this weekend, is the John O'Groat Book Festival. I'm going to see Christopher Brookmeyer. I'm so excited, on Saturday. And I've been reading his crime novels since 1996. And it was 1997 when my friend had one. We were on holiday. And she burst out laughing at the start of it. I read it out loud. And it's gallus Scottish humour at its best. And it was right up my street. So I listened to his interviews over the years. And he's very, very well read. Very interesting. So I'm looking forward to that. And I was on my library app just before, and I find that if I have a book downloaded, an audiobook downloaded, it means I don't listen to as many podcasts as I want to. But the Philip Pullman Book of Dust is actually on our library audiobook, so I think I might get that down and disappear for a little while.
Shoppy section.
Thank you so much for your purchase the past week. I very much appreciate it. The shop has currently got Macmillan and Red MacGregor and some silk scarves dyed by me and a microwave. I have to give a microwave its place. If you feel you'd like to contribute to my continuing running of the podcast but get stuff back as well, then do please go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Katie's Craft. Or you can support the podcast, get nothing back if this is your want. It's paypal.me/Katie's Craft. I'm happy to review patterns, books or yarns or notions. If you're in that line, don't be shy and you don't have to pay for it. A huge thanks to Julia. Love you, Julia.
Blah 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 section.
Thank you very much for listening. I very much appreciate taking time to download and then listen to me spaff on. I'd like to add that all opinions are mine and, well, some of Richard's or my mum's. I occasionally get facts wrong, but I try not to, and I don't do it on purpose. My email is katenscraftcollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Liz Hunt. The group is katenscraftcollective on there. I'm Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, katenscraft, and you can get the podcast from Podbean site as www.katenscraftcollective.podbean.com. I've not managed to put it on YouTube yet, because parents were on holiday, and whereas they probably actually know how to do it, they were too busy asking me all those stupid questions. because they're small children. The intro is from Free Music Archive and called Entertainment for the Brain Dead by a Friend. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting.